This episode is sponsored by Cards Against Humanity. They asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy!
It is the Chicagoverse podcast on the Dynasty Podcast Network, featuring interviews with Chicago's premier artists in industry and creatives and culture leaders. Hosted by Haima Black. Welcome to Chicago.
Dynasty Podcast, broadcasting live from Dynasty Studios in Pilsen. You can sign up for studio time here to record your own podcast at dynastycreative.com. Click on the studio tab. I am here tonight joined by Jacob Bracey, who people might know under his Blackbirds with two R's, Blackbirds tag for all the creative photography and fashion work that you do. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Thank you for coming up here tonight.
Definitely. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Glad to have you. So, again, we have to give a shout out to producer Natalie, who booked you, Natalie Aurelia. And she was telling me about all this great fashion and styling work that you do. So I'm looking forward to talking about that. And we got to talk about this a little bit before the mic was on. But we always start at the beginning. Talk about how fashion and photography and all this kind of creative work began for you in your life.
I would like to start with how I came to the city, because I'm not originally from Chicago. I moved here from Minneapolis about 4 years ago for film and journalism. Very into colors and composition and storytelling and all of those things. So those two things go hand in hand. It's just like painting a picture for someone, giving you every side of like a narrative. And as I got into it, I started to find little like niches and people in the fields that I wasn't even aware of when I first, you know, when I first started and moved here. So once I had kind of pinpointed that I was really attracted to fashion, it took me. It really did. And like, I can't really explain it, but like, there is a point where I couldn't stop thinking about fashion and clothes and the whole world that I was just exposed to. So I think the way in which I operate is very detail-oriented. And I think a lot of creative people are like that. Most creative people are like that. If you care about something and if you're thinking about something 24/7, year-round, you're gonna start to analyze the littlest things.
And that's obviously a huge sign that that's the thing you should be putting your time and energy into.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you mentioned that, you know, again, before the mic's on, we talked a bit, but you came to Chicago just a few years ago. So you're not from Chicago. Like, what brought you here? Where were you coming from? And then what was the kind of process like of, you know, adjusting to Chicago as a, you know, city and creative hub?
Yeah, the place I came from was, it was a very interesting place. I met a lot of people from around the world. My school is like set up in a way where it was just like international. So I got to see all different walks of life, got to meet people that most people never would have met. So that really opened my eyes to the world. And me being there and, you know, being in high school, there's always that thing where it's like, where are you going next? What are you doing once this is done? Because you're about to enter like a new stage of your life. And honestly, it's the first stage of your life to me, because you're like, this is my adult career and this is what I'm about to pursue. So Chicago was always a thing for me. I had only been to Chicago like 3 or 4 times before I had lived here. And every time I was here, it was like, this is the place. Like, this is where I need to be. And and it was never a question to me. So I think Chicago was like something that was just in the cards. Like, I was going to be here no matter what, you know. Every city has its thing, and like, this was just the one for me. So I think coming here really just allowed me to do all of the things that like I had like haven't had the intentions to do and been thinking about.
Well, and it's interesting to me, and I mean, I love Chicago, so I think it makes sense and it's great you're here. But also, if you had a passion and still have a passion for fashion, people might not think of Chicago. In fact, they probably don't think of Chicago first and foremost as like a fashion industry city. You know, there's obviously cities where that is kind of more at the forefront. So as your passion for fashion, and that sounds so, you know what I mean? But really, as your, you know, attachment and energy towards fashion developed, what made you want to stay here versus maybe going to New York or going to a city where it's like they have that built in, like it's already developed, it's already active?
Yeah, I think the thing, and it's not to credit like one person, because it's just like it's accumulation of experiences and moments that you have. But like in my mind, I can kind of pinpoint those times where it's like I saw someone doing it. And it's so like, it's just like such a simple way to say it. But like when you see someone really pursued, like, and like dedicated and committed to something and doing well in it, it opens your eyes. You're like, wow, I can do this as well. So right. I think it was really just those environments. You walk into a room in Chicago, or you walk into a pop-up shop, or you just meet a designer or see someone in the street, and they have this charisma, this energy to it. And it has such a pull. And like, and those things never fade for me. I see beautiful people all over the city. I see beautiful things. And it just like makes sense that I am to operate in that world.
Well, and in Chicago, the people who are doing fashion, I think it's true for a lot of the creative endeavors here in general, they're real people on the ground who you actually meet, and they have a relationship with their community, and you're able to engage with them, and they do events, and they're out at other people's events. And I don't know that it's like that in every city, where it's like every brand kind of has representatives, and it's led by a real person who has a face. You know, Joe Freshgood's all over Chicago. Like, that's a guy, and all over Twitter, but like, that's a guy, and he's just one example, who, you know, obviously has built a lane for himself, a really successful lane in Chicago fashion and streetwear, but he's a real guy who's out at things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just like a big faceless brand that happens to have an office here. So I think that to me, especially if I was like going into fashion, that would be, yeah, you know, what you're describing, inspiring and kind of like a, almost like a North Star of like, oh, you can do this here.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's like a forever, like refreshing wake up to you, like to be able to actually like see someone start something and watch exactly like you said, like the community and the people care. If you're really a genuine person and you really want it to happen, like I think the factors in the universe and everything around you will propel you to like allow you to be whatever you want to be.
So we're going to bounce around a little bit here in time. We'll talk about the magazine in a little bit, but talk about in the here and now, because you come here and you develop a passion for, you know, fashion work and that kind of industry and that kind of creative expression. How are you bringing that to life now in nearly 2020?
2020 is a great time, I think, for it, because we're in literally the time of the most power to self that has ever existed.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone and everything is a business. You talk to anyone in the city and they know, they might not be there, but you know what I'm saying, they have their like plot, or you know what I'm saying, or they have their foundation for what's gonna become of themselves. And when you can do that, it just becomes like a whole different playing field. And it's not even to like veer into a different genre or field, but like the music industry has changed dramatically in the same way.
God, yeah.
And the fact that you can be an independent artist now. You don't need a label or any type of entity above you, as long as you have the motivation and the vision
and the drive. And I mean, everything you're saying, I 100% agree with. I say this every single episode. I even say the part that I say this every episode, but I'm very aware I say it every episode. But I teach this class at Columbia College. If this podcast was the drinking game, this would be the part where people drink. But I teach a freelancing class at Columbia College, and here's the kind of quick version. I stress that a lot. I talk about that on this podcast, too, that you're absolutely correct. We've never had a time period where if you wanted to become a writer, if you wanted to become a filmmaker, film producer, if you wanted to become an actor, you wanted to become a, you know, radio host in the form of podcasting, and on and on and on. My point is, all these platforms exist. For the most part, they're all free. If you have access to your own laptop, computer, tablet, phone, or even access to a library that has these things, you can, you know, obviously put your work on any of these platforms and, you know, shoot your shot with the universe. Doesn't mean you're automatically going to find a audience. Doesn't mean it's not a lot of hard work, but at least the doors are open now, which I think is an incredible gift that I think it's easy to take for granted, especially, I think, younger people. Because they don't remember when, like, if you wanted to be a newspaper writer, you had to work at a newspaper. That's not the case anymore.
Facts.
You know what I mean? Like, you can just create your brand on Instagram or TikTok or YouTube or whatever it is, and now it exists. And then, like, you see people who, like, you look at Cole Bennett, for example, and he's just one of many, but he's, like, that was a guy who started out, made a blog, and is obviously built it into a platform. So I do love that about this moment in time right now, and I agree with you that that is, I think, a huge benefit that it's worth keeping in mind and not just taking for granted.
Definitely. Yeah. And to even expand on the question that you had asked, as far as my personal involvement in it goes, it's like I've told a lot of people, and it's kind of it's more of an abstract statement, but like I've been living in 2020 mentally for like the last 6 months.
Right.
So everything, every type of deliverable I make and everything that I'm making is to benefit or is facing the future. Like we have a huge access point to be able to see kind of what's going to become of, you know, the environment around us and everything around us. We're moving so fast. We're really speeding through time right now. The internet has allowed us to transcend time in a way. So,
well, and you can just, and I, you, like, again, 100%, I completely agree with you. You can really get a head start on things, and you should, because here we are right now. It's mid-November when we're recording this, you know, but in terms of what is already being prepared, it's like, I'm sure it's the same for you. My inbox is all talking about like February, March, April, May, and in another week or two, we'll be talking about like early June, and it'll just be starting to snow here in Chicago. But that's how these things work. Like, you know, you have to plan ahead and get in front of these things if you don't want to just be caught last minute being like, oh, wait, we should do something. So in developing this kind of work for yourself, the fashion work, the photography work, you know, and all these things we're going to talk about, what was the learning process like, or the learning curve, trial and error, all these things? Not in developing your talent, because I have imagined that your talent was something that you worked hard on, but that came naturally. But how did you turn this into a business? How difficult was that, and how much learning curve went into that?
That was a huge learning curve. It's one thing to be, to me, in school and pursuing something because you're surrounded by people and you have that foundation to kind of like keep you afloat. And I'm not saying that it's easy by any means. I've been there, so like I really do understand how that works. But when you remove yourself from that and you're like, okay, this is what I want to do, so I have to make X amount of money, and not even to make it about money, but like I have to now be...
But you need the money.
Exactly, and I have to be a business now, and I have to start... I have to remove myself. Like, I mean, I think anyone freelancing or anyone who is an independent business realizes that outside of your art, you have to be a multifaceted person. You have to know how to market yourself. You have to know how to sell to people. You have to know what consumer culture looks like. You have to know how to take everything that you know and kind of like subvert it into something that's going to work.
And operate on all those levels. I mean, everything you're saying, man, I feel like we were having this like, you know, stepbrothers bunk bed moment of just like, did we just become a... Because everything you were saying, I'm just like, yep. And it is true. It's like, it's not enough anymore to just be good at your craft. You know, you're good at photography, you're good at fashion, you're good at filmmaking, whatever that is. That's a huge part of it, right? But you're right. You need to know how to monetize. You need to know how to take care of the business side of things. You need to know how to do all the boring shit that no one wants to do and that artists certainly don't want to do. But now that's not just like a luxury. It's a requirement if you want to be able to progress and make your work a business.
Yes.
Yeah. So when did you start to have signs or the indication that like, oh, this works. This is a business. It's not just in my head. It's like people are taking it seriously.
Yeah, it's wild because you say that and I get like all these like blips and flashbacks to like there's so many like moments in which I kind of like saw it happen, like started to see it happen. And it was really like... It is those interactions in real life. There is a lot of like internet things and a lot of... You do get a lot of like validation from the internet in ways that is helpful because you know you're doing things right. But a lot of times those things are not dead ends, but they don't give you immediate turnover. Like someone saying, I love your work, I could see you in Vogue, is an amazing thing to hear. And it really does like give you that good like burst of energy that you need, especially if you've been working hours and hours and hours and feel like it's not going anywhere. But I think the time in which it actually started to translate is when people really started saying, I want to work with you. Like, I see what you're doing. I want to have
you.
That's a magic moment.
Yes, because I mean, that's the goal.
It is. I again, tell my students that, like, there's something so rewarding about getting that first paycheck for your actual creative work. Even if, let's say, you got paid at your, like, day job, and then you got paid for the creative work, and let's say that the day job is up here. You know, like, it's way more money, and the creative check is way smaller. It still feels better.
Yeah, that was
you're
about
like,
to say
oh,
that.
My God, I got paid to do the thing.
Yes.
Someone actually paid
thing.
Me for this.
Yes.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
Yes. To me, I see it as, like, potency. It's like what's, like, the actual, like, density of the feelings that you're getting. You know what I'm saying? Like, making the paycheck, working week to week, 40 hours, like, you're going to feel... That puts you in a safety place. So it feels good because you don't have to worry about a lot of things. But there's always that thing in your head that's just like, this isn't, like, stimulating me.
Sure. I mean, absolutely. And there's nothing wrong. There's no shame in working a, you know, let's say non-creative job or a job that maybe isn't fulfilling to your passion, because at the end of the day, you got to keep the lights on. That's the most important thing. Like, obviously follow your passion, but there's no shame in the meantime, until you're supporting yourself full time with that, you got to do what you got to do. But at the same time, if that's the only thing you're doing and you have this thing that's keeping you awake at night, that's eating you alive, being like, I have to write my book or I have to do this, it's hard to concentrate on anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the fashion work now, it's tied to your photography work. We haven't talked about that as much. Talk about how you're bringing fashion and photography together. What does that look like, and how are you actualizing that in your work right now?
The way in which I'm bridging that, and it does kind of revert back to, like, where I did start in film, because, like, film is just, like, it's such a bigger scale thing.
Yeah.
There's so
Film's huge.
Yeah, there's so many departments and departments inside of departments and little people inside those departments that literally make the film. Like, without that person, you would notice. And it's, like, those things. Like, I'm very into wardrobe, and I've been into wardrobe since the beginning of it. But that's something when you're looking at it from a bigger scale. Like, I started in cinematography, but when I would see outfits and makeup and all of those things, that always had a big pull to me. So now when I take that initiative and that kind of mindset into, like, fashion and stuff, it's like I'm now building a world for myself.
Right.
So I think the way in which I'm bridging it, to me, and it's not that everyone is doing this in fashion, I'm not saying people aren't doing this, but it's just like, how can you pull something out of your head? How can you pull it out of your head and bring it into the existing world in a way that it translates? And I don't even want to get into, like, too many, like, pigeonholes or, like, little things, but, like, materials.
Sure.
Fabric.
Every single part of
silhouette.
It that actually is on the ground, that it is tangible, and that isn't tangible, that's online, somebody has to make that happen. People forget about that.
Definitely.
Anything you see in a movie, anything you see at an event, whatever, somebody set that up. Somebody hung those lights. Somebody, you know, so, yeah, it's easy to take that for granted, but you're that person who is bringing those elements to life and putting them into place.
Yeah. And, like, to get into, like, something, like, more in the detail-oriented side of it, it's like, if I'm looking at a model and if I'm styling a model, like, it's a big thing. It is. So this is a step back. So before I was styling and I was just shooting, I was working mm-hmm. with a couple very talented stylists, and they would be sending me photos of all the clothes, and we'd have the mood board, we'd have the model, we'd have the location, all those things checked, like the boxes that need to be checked for it to happen correctly.
Right.
And they would send me all the pieces, and I'm like, and I think I got to the same point every time. It's like, I love all of these and I think these will work, but until I see the person or the model wearing it in front of me, I'm not going to be able to make that call. And to me, it's complete when the subject looks like a character out of a movie.
Sure. Yeah, and I think that's a great way to put it.
And that's when I'm looking at my work, that's where I see that reflection. Because now I'm building a character that I am. I'm trying to self-reflect through this person, through every little movement, through every little... I'm telling you to move your head up, move your jaw up, you know what I'm saying? Clench your jaw, clench your fist, you know, lean back. I oftentimes put my models in positions where I literally say, this is the world you're in.
Right.
So I remove them from your modeling and I put them into, like, a hypothetical.
It's an actor saying, what's my motivation?
Exactly. And the second you do that, you start to see them, you see it click in their head. Because now they're in the environment and they understand the environment. And when someone understands the environment, they're going to start pulling out things that they didn't even know were there.
Sure.
And that's when it starts to work.
That's really cool. Where have people seen your work? Who are some of the clients or brands or partners you've worked with? Or, you know, where should they go to see your work? And we'll talk about the magazine in a moment, too. But if someone's listening or watching this right now, and they're like, I want to check this out, where should they go do that?
I'm primarily on Instagram right now. I'm working on a website. I do have reservations about setting up a website, but it is definitely the move because the world is bigger than Instagram, and there's so much more outlets and stuff. But I've had my stuff in multiple publications. I've had my stuff reposted, shown in a lot of places. You know, people like have sent me my work like from places that I didn't even know it was up or something. You know what I'm saying? So. And we were talking about this in a prior conversation is the separation between physical and digital.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of my best work and my favorite work is actually like already in my house framed up and or in my magazine that I had put out a couple of years ago.
Yeah. And let's talk about the magazine because the magazine is something that was in play for a bit and now it's not. So bring us into kind of how that came to be. Is it a project that's going to come back? Bring us into the magazine project.
So the magazine was brought to surface my freshman year of college, and it turned into a very we expanded on like all of the digital sides. So we were interviewing artists. We were doing just a lot of physical. We our primary output was the physical magazine, which was about 79 pages of artists that we had found around the city and decided to display them in a physical book.
Which is so cool. There's still something so exciting about having a physical product in such a digital world.
I think as a photographer, as a designer, as anyone where it's applicable, you should bring things to the physical world because it's not meant to just be digital. I think we get caught up in a stigma and like we're so in the world of digital and digital moves so fast that it does make sense. But like you don't know something until you touch it or until you hold it in your hand. Like if I was only looking at clothes on the internet or like didn't ever actually see them, I wouldn't have the same position that I do now. It's not until you see it that you understand it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So the magazine was going for a while, and then it went on hiatus?
Yeah. So in my mind right now, we're in a development stage right now. So everyone involved in the magazine has come to terms to take time to develop ourselves because the magazine was so successful. And so the way in which we had gone about it, it was just like we took the time to like make sure it wasn't something that was just going to fade away. So,
right.
So it's in a position that when it is to be brought back to the surface, it will be on such a elevated level. It's going to be on a full rebrand. Like it can't exist in the same way that it existed then. So that is going to come back. That is definitely going to come back. And it's to me, I mean, like to the outside world, it has stopped. But to me, it is very much something that is in real time and in real process.
So the different things you've done, the magazine, photography, filmmaking, you know, fashion, all these things now and in the past and everything you have coming up, what advice would you give for young creatives who are looking to do any of that or just start their own, you know, start pursuing their own passion? Like you have obviously followed your passion and activated it and made that into your path. What would you tell anyone else looking to do the same?
This is a thing that it took a long time to get to this place. So there's definitely steps that like I might be skipping over when I say this.
Sure. It's a half hour podcast. I mean, not that we have to stop at half an hour, but we could not even remotely cover everything that you need to do as an entrepreneur in that space.
I would say find the access point of what you want. Really like narrow it down, distill that one thing or that field, and then start to pursue it. You have to, I think if you start little and then go big, it is actually a better way than vice versa because then you catch yourself. You'll get caught up in so many little things that might be in a similar place to what you're looking for, but it might not be what you're looking for exactly. So if you just weed out all of those things, so if you start making furniture and then you get to realize that you just want to do like stitching of cushions.
Right.
And you just like patterns or like the
fabric. You just want to do
that one
singular
little thing.
Right.
I think finding that thing is important because then it allows you to expand on that, and that's where you'll actually be able to start propelling.
And you become an expert.
An expert, exactly.
Sure. Instead of just being like, you know, kind of a C+ student at a bunch of things.
Exactly.
Absolutely. The Instagram account is Blackbirds with two R's, so BlackBirds. I mean, it's a really good looking account. There's really great photography work here, and you know, it stands out. I think the colors are very muted. It feels very purposeful. Like, it feels like the colors are a big part of what you're doing here. The color work feels very deliberate. Am I just off base?
That's extremely on point. It is one of those things where when you have limited things to express what you're getting across, that's where it really hits. That's the difference between a black and white film and a color film.
Yeah.
Those little things are so, like, I know all of those things. Like, I know why I'm doing it. And when you're looking at it, I want you to feel that, because a muted tone to me means a lot.
And it's, like, again, it's a gorgeous account, and it's muted. And it's like, you don't have a million photos here. You have 58 posts. So are you just really selective with what you're putting up?
Yeah, I have about 10,000 photos.
No doubt. Like, I didn't think remotely that you only had about 60 photos total. Are you thinking that, like, you know, the larger, not all 10,000, but that a larger body of work might, you know, see publication through your own magazine or through the extended website or?
Of course. Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing with me is I would rather take the time to put out something that I fully am okay with. So for me to be just like aimlessly putting out all of this work is okay. And I feel the same way about all my work that is completed. Like, I could have 500 posts if I want. But when you do that, I don't know, it makes things harder for yourself to see.
It dilutes the brand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's things like that. You understand that fully.
Absolutely. I think the fact that you have 58 really strong examples of your work, and even 58 sounds like a big number in our head, but when you scroll Instagram for 58 photos,
that's real quick. I understand how
right,
how fast that can go.
But it's great because there's no wasted space there. Every photo is deliberate, every photo is striking, and every photo demonstrates your skill level versus having, you know, again, 72,000 photos there, and I don't know, 38% of them are great, which works against you.
I see all these photos as pieces of myself, so I would want you to look at my page and to full extent be able to understand where I'm coming from.
So for anybody, again, watching, listening, checking out your Instagram, who wants to work with you, who wants to model for you, who wants to hire you to do a shoot, who wants to hire you for a fashion project, like, how can people reach out, and who are you looking for to reach out to you, you know, ideally?
Okay, so I can be reached at on Instagram or blackbirds@gmail.com. I'm going to be setting up a website in the near future, so that will be a way to contact me, but as far as now, those are the ways. And the people I'm looking for is people who just, like, are passionate about what they want to do.
Yeah.
And people who, like, really, like, want to take something in their head and get it out, and I will help you get to that. Because I'm trying to see it as clearly as you're seeing it. Because when you do get that image, when you get a beautiful image and a beautiful world that you built, there's nothing that can take away from that.
No, man, I agree. And I think the work is gorgeous. I absolutely love it. I'm looking at this photo of some, looks like platform boots that are they hanging off of a...
That's a giant wood pile.
Oh, it's like it's attached to somebody.
Yeah, that's a person.
Yeah.
It was outside the studio, so I had been renting this studio. Okay,
I see it. Yeah,
and I looked out the window and I just saw it, and I was like, "Hey, we have to go out there right now."
I love this, just the palette of it and the tone and the story it tells. I love it. I think this is fantastic work, man.
Thank you so much.
I'm very in awe because So I've been doing audio for like 22 years, and I love audio. But when I see people who have just such completely different skill sets than me, I'm always just like, wow, I can't believe, like, that person wrote a book, that person made a film, that, you know, something that I, if I devote enough time, maybe could do, but I don't have the tools today. So I'm always just impressed when I see people who do, not that this is easy, but you make it look easy, even though I know there's a lot of work that went into it.
Definitely.
Yeah. This is dope, man. Again, the best platform for people to check you out, Blackbirds on Instagram with two R's, so B-I-R-R-D-S. Man, this was great. Jacob Bracey, a.k.a. Blackbirds, out here doing very cool work. Thank you so much for coming up tonight and talking, man. I would love to have you back on in the future, and we'll talk more about everything you're doing.
Definitely. It was great talking to you. And also, Adage 2020 is a thing, so make sure to go follow Adage Workshop. That's what I'm working on currently, and we're going to give you the best deliverables that you've ever seen, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
All right, man. Well, when that is ready to be talked about, come back and we'll do another chat about it.
Definitely.
Great, man. This is great. Thanks so much.
You as well.
You've been listening to a production of Dynasty Podcasts. Find more Dynasty Podcasts at dynastypodcast.com. For the Dynamic Dynasty, Dynasty Descend.